WNYC Studios is supported by the Natural Resources Defense Council. Using science, the law, and people power, NRDC is committed to confronting the climate crisis, protecting public health, and safeguarding nature. They address the impact of fossil fuels on communities and our environment. They help protect wildlife, public lands, and irreplaceable ecosystems that all living things depend on. They work to enact policies for clean air, clean water, and access to nature for all. You can help NRDC safeguard the Earth for future generations. Visit nrdc.org/WNYC for more information. WNYC Studios is brought to you by ZBiotics. Seize the day after a night of drinks with ZBiotics Pre-Alcohol Probiotic Drink. ZBiotics was invented by PhD scientists to break down the byproduct of alcohol, which is most responsible for making you feel crummy the next day. Drink ZBiotics before your first drink. Drink responsibly, and you'll wake up refreshed and ready to take on the day. Try it for yourself at ZBiotics.com/WNYC and get 15% off your first order when you use WNYC at checkout. That's ZBiotics.com/WNYC and use the code WNYC at checkout for 15% off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Listener supported, WNYC Studios.
This is the New Yorker Radio Hour, a co-production of WNYC Studios and the New Yorker.
This is the New Yorker Radio Hour. I'm David Remnick. I've been seeing and talking about movies with the New Yorker film critic Richard Brody for decades. He rarely leads me wrong, and I can't remember the last time that Richard was as excited about a filmmaker as he is about the director Josephine Decker. In 2014, he wrote a piece about Decker with the headline, A Star is Born. And her film, Madeline's Madeline, was Richard's pick, whether you heard of it or not, for the best movie of 2018. Josephine Decker's new film is called Shirley, and it stars Elizabeth Moss as the writer Shirley Jackson.
I have a title, Hangs a Man. It's about that girl, the missing one.
The Weldon girl.
What do you think?
Well, you haven't said much.
It's just an idea. I can try
disappearing college girls sounds trite and a bit trashy, but give it a go. I'll read, of course, before you wade too far in.
It's going to take some time.
Well, give it to me in a couple of days.
It's a novel.
Oh, no, dear. That's... You're not... You're just not up to it.
You're wrong.
That was Elizabeth Moss as Shirley Jackson. And Richard Brody joins me now. Richard, what is it about Josephine Decker's work that you love so much?
Well, very simply, Josephine Decker is one of the very few filmmakers who seem to be reinventing the very stuff of movies, image, sound, performance, with each film. And she's coming out of a fusion of traditions, which is one of the things that makes her work so interesting. I knew her as an actress. She had appeared in some films by Joe Swanberg that I was familiar with. So her direct filmmaking experience comes from what I would call mumblecore film. In other words, films that were made on a very low budget, the script improvised, but her way of making images is, let's say, expressionistic. It has something to do with the films of John Cassavetes, something to do with avant-garde filmmaking. And that fusion of traditions, along with her own personal inspirations, makes for a really original form of work.
And what's Shirley about, the new film?
Shirley is a sort of biopic about Shirley Jackson, the author of The Lottery, published in The New Yorker, of course, in 1948. But the movie digs very deep into Shirley Jackson's creative process. And it does so experientially with a hectic image repertory, fantasy sequences, nightmare sound design, and above all a performance by Elizabeth Moss that is itself spontaneous and ferocious.
So I hadn't heard of Decker until you told me about her, until you wrote about her. How did you first get to know her work?
Well, actually, I was just talking with her about that the other day. So I remember vividly when we met. We met at the Maryland Film Festival.
Oh, right.
In those days, the sort of the gathering area where the coffee and snacks were was a parking lot. But I did recognize you because I'd seen you in Joe's films. I asked you, are you in a film that's in the festival this year? And you said, no, but I have a film. I directed a film that's in the festival. It was a short film, and I asked you if you would send me, not a link, of course, that didn't exist, but send me a copy, and you did send me a DVD. I popped it into my DVD player, and from the very first images, my eyes got extremely wide. This film is called Me the Terrible.
Yes.
Which is a wonderful, comedic, and yet really kind of poignant fantasy about a child's adventure life.
It is. And it was very, oh my gosh. It's funny because I really remember your response to that and was really floored by it and grateful that you connected to it so much.
And I said to myself, you know, I'm impatient for anything you do next. But so essentially, you know, the two main themes in your career until now, in your work until now, are the relationships of women and the artistic and creative drives of women artists, and their attempt to create in the face of private and public obstacles.
That's very true. And it's interesting, it was funny almost to be blindsided by how much I didn't even realize the amount of thematic crossover there was between Madeline's Madeline and Shirley. Madeline's Madeline is a feature I made before I made Shirley. And Sarah Gubbins, our writer on Shirley, saw Madeline's Madeline. And I just remember us looking at each other and being like, there is a lot in common between these two movies. There's an older, established artist, kind of, maybe the right word might be preying on the innocence and connection she has with a younger artist, a younger woman.
Right. Madeline's Madeline is the story of a teenage acting prodigy who's a member of a professional theater company where she's, in effect, exploited by the director. Now, you know, I love that movie. And one of the things I love about it is the sense that you don't deliver a script to the actors and merely photograph them performing it, but rather that it's the result of a real-time, ongoing creative process in which you yourself are participating.
Yes. Well, I think I had my first film was improvised. Butter on the Latch was fully improvised. That Was Wild and Lovely was scripted. And there's a tiny bit of improv, but not much. And I kind of missed improvising, but when in the improv movie, I had missed the kind of like clearer turning points that a script allows you. So my next film, I had set out to build through scripting, you know, from improv. And then I cast our incredible acting troupe and spent the next 6 months working with them, improvising towards these and around these themes that I wanted to be at the heart of Madeline's Madeline, which were mental illness and parent-child relationships. And also, you know, how art, low budget art, tries to address these large things and the question of how much impact do you have? So, and I think Madeline's Madeline is one of those movies that really shouldn't exist. It's, you know, it's an extremely, there's the beginning of the film is about an actress dressed up as a sea turtle. You know, it's not like an action film. So part of the reason is it exists is that I felt encouraged to keep going closer and closer to the things that I was really interested in and excited by.
The New Yorker's Richard Brody with director Josephine Decker, whose movie Shirley is just out. More in a moment.
WNYC Studios is supported by Wondery. 50 high school senior girls descend on Mobile, Alabama every summer to compete for a massive cash prize. It isn't Survivor. It's one of America's most lucrative scholarship competitions for teen girls. It's been around for 7 decades. Now you'll hear what took place behind the scenes. From Pineapple Street Studios and Wondery comes The Competition. Host Shima Oliai was Nevada's contestant 20 years ago. Now she's returning as a judge to find out what 2 weeks with 50 of the country's most ambitious teens can tell us about girlhood in America. What happens when the competitors are thrown into the deep end with the best and brightest? And how does surviving the competition prepare them for everything that comes after? Follow The Competition on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can binge all episodes of The Competition early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
Hi, I'm Roz Chast from The New Yorker. This episode of New Yorker Radio Hour is supported by ZBiotics. We all have busy lives these days and can't afford to waste a day on the couch because of a few drinks the night before. Luckily, a new product, ZBiotics Pre-Alcohol Probiotic, is here to help. ZBiotics breaks down the byproduct of alcohol responsible for those rough mornings. Try it today by going to zbiotics.com/radiohour and get 15% off your first order when you use Radio Hour at checkout. ZBiotics is backed with a 100% money-back guarantee. So, if you're unsatisfied for any reason, they'll refund your money. That's zbiotics.com/radiohour and use the code RADIOHOUR at checkout for 15% off. Hi, I'm Roz Chast from The New Yorker. The New Yorker Radio Hour is supported by NetSuite. Okay, quick math. The less your business spends on operations, on delivering your product or service, the more money you keep. Obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So to reduce costs and headaches, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, and HR into one platform. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified platform. Backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/New Yorker. netsuite.com/New Yorker.
Did you have the sense that making a film about a well-known historical figure like Shirley Jackson would help make the film more accessible to a wider audience?
I mean, I think in a part of me really wanted to reach a wider audience. And, you know, I'm me. So I hired a crew that was pretty interested in the dangerous edge of what cinema is. So, you know, I think I remember Sterla, our DP, at one point being like, I don't know if everyone understands that we're making an art film. This is an art film. And I was like, oh, no. You know, I did not tell the producers that he said that, but we definitely took a lot of risks. And I mean, I remember Elizabeth Moss would be like, what? I think we're on my close-up, but he's not filming my face. He's filming the tabletop. And I had to be like, well, there's this thing that I'm trying to do, which is, you know, this midnight, we called the midnight kitchen scene. And it's a very dreamy scene. And I wanted it to have a very specific quality to feel kind of dreamlike, almost like you weren't sure if it's even happening, if you just walked into a dream. And so I was like, our DP has to also be in a kind of dream state. He has to be liberated to follow his instincts and to capture what feels alive to him in every moment. You know, we have to all be alive and connected to what was actually, you know, passing between these two women.
They talk about me in town. I see things on people's faces. They're afraid to brush up against me. My dark thoughts are going to infect them. This book, it might kill me. I can't figure out this girl.
A lot of critics have called your films experimental. I mean, that's a term I hate, by the way. I mean, I hate the term experimental film. I have my own theories on the subject. Why do you think critics use that kind of banal term for your movies, among other banalities?
I think I'm really interested in how to allow the form of cinema to have a structure and a like a logic that is more of a poetic logic than, you know, your three-act structure kind of thing. You know, I notice it, or I've thought about it a lot in terms of woman. And actually, speaking of Shirley, her stories and the way that her stories kind of move, they're very structured, but there's a cyclicalness and a kind of dreaminess to them that felt really akin to the way I have been trying to make work. And I'm trying to follow the poetry and let it be my guide.
That sounds like a good place to stop.
Yeah, I think so.
Josephine, very good to talk with you and good to see you.
Thanks so much, Richard. Thank you so much for everything and for being here and for also the many years of supporting and paying attention to me. Thank you.
It's my pleasure, my privilege, and my job.
Filmmaker Josephine Decker speaking with The New Yorker's Richard Brody. Decker's new film is called Shirley, and it's out this week. Not in theaters, of course, but you can find it wherever you stream movies online. I'm David Remnick. Thanks for listening this week. Be well and be safe. See you next time.
The New Yorker Radio Hour is a co-production of WNYC Studios and The New Yorker. Our theme music was composed and performed by Merrill Garbus of Tune Yards, with additional music by Alexis Quadrado. This episode was produced by Alex Barron, Emily Botine, Ave Carrillo, Rhiannon Corby, Kala Leah, David Krasnow, Caroline Lester, Gofen Mputubwele, Louis Mitchell, Michelle Moses, and Stephen Valentino, with help from Allison McAdam, Danny Bonner, Meng-Fei Chen, and Emily Mann. The New Yorker Radio Hour is supported in part by the Chirina Endowment Fund.